he bought that for a while. I mean, he bought that.
Well, Harold bought it eventually, didn't he?
Yeah,
isn't that part of the subdivision?
Because Harold wouldn't let the guy put a road across it or something. I don't know what that was all about.
Well, I had forgotten if I ever knew.
Some deal about that.
Oh, maybe you remember. You remember about the first house that was built in the subdivision down here? Burned to the ground?
Oh, that's where Guy's house is now. Yeah.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to picture the lay of the land quite.
They had a lovely, nice house. Yeah, kind of a New England style house.
It was a well-built house.
She had a gorgeous garden, and she had that thing full of canned stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was in there not too long before. Mm-hmm. Well, it was burned in the winter. Not right now.
Do you remember what year? I haven't been able to find it in my diaries yet.
Because I went down to visit her, and she took me into her larder and showed me. She just made pickles and canned stuff of every variety. She
had her name was Goodwin.
Remember what it was?
Well, that's what Beatrice remembered. She said she had it in her records, but she hasn't.
Yeah.
I need to call her and ask her for sure.
I think, where did I go at that point? Maybe I went to work or something.
Well, it could be about the time you were working at the hospital.
Could be.
Well, no one else.
I worked up at Chena Hot Springs, and I worked for Lee Rissy, and I worked for the school system, and I had all these weird jobs.
How ever did you get to Chena Hot Springs?
I drove.
Well, this was after there was a road.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, at least a gravel road.
They put that road through in about, what was it, 70, in the 70s.
Yeah.
75, 76 or something, mm-hmm. They put a road up there.
Yeah, there are a few times that Katie and Carol went out with you, and sometimes they just swam and sometimes they worked.
I got put to work.
Yeah. He said, yeah, we worked hard.
I used to like working for Lee. That was fun, working in the spring with all the little plants. He's got quite a crew over there now.
Well, how long were you down?
Dorothy and I both worked over there for him.
How long were you down in the Delta area? On the pipeline?
I think we went. Jimmy was just a little baby, and he was born in 55. And then we came back in the spring of, or the summer of 57. We were gone for like so 2 years.
A couple years.
Because we lived down by the border down there at that Canal pipeline thing, and then we moved up to Tolk.
Remember what the station name was?
Station J was the one that was the old one where we worked, and then there was one at Tolk.
What kind of work did you do?
For which one?
I mean, have you just...
George was with Civil Service working for that pipeline. And then they built the bigger, the 4-inch line, and so then we moved up to Tolk where that ran through there then from Valdez. Well, they still had the old line, but they didn't use
it. Okay, this is the line that came up from Haynes, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was a military line, in case that clears up anything for you.
And it was an oil line?
The other line came down from, what's that, Wells, from up in Canada?
Norman Wells.
In Canada. The old 4-inch, the old little line. Mm-hmm.
Was it 4-inch or 3-inch?
One was 3. I don't remember now. It looked big, but compared to the Alaska pipeline, it was nothing. They had a camp down there. Let me think. How many miles was it from Tolk? Anyway, it was closer to the border than Tolk. It was called Station J. Then they closed that part all down and went on to the bigger pipeline.
Okay. Did you know Pete Aiken?
Yeah.
Cora says that I assumed he was a GI too.
Uh-huh.
She says she didn't know that he ever was.
No. I don't remember much about him. I didn't know them very well. She came over. That field up there was had been all logged off, and it was huge stumps. There must have been beautiful trees in that field up there. Up above Jimmy's.
That they later.
And had grown up to raspberry bushes.
Up above Jimmy's.
Yeah, between Jimmy's and my house was a kind of a field with a lot of brush and aspen and
But what does this have to do with Aikens?
She used to come over then, and well, I guess Harold had was friends with them, and then she came over. Beatrice and I picked raspberries in that field.
Okay.
So that's when I met her.
I see.
I don't know her otherwise. I didn't know her otherwise. You should have seen the raspberries. They were huge. They were big as tame, and there was, I canned like 40, 50 quarts of them, and we made jams and jellies and syrups, and
yeah.
And then they had the, when they got, we got the land clearing permit, then they came out, let me think, who did that? Andy Anderson and that other guy cleared off the stumps, and then we burned it. Bye-bye all the beautiful raspberry bushes.
Harold had some nice raspberry bushes down in here.
He knew how to trim them back and stuff. These were just wild ones, I guess. They were beautiful.
What about the Lindstrands? They were, well, at least Carl Lindstrand was
down there, and then I don't remember when Everett came.
That's what I was wondering is when they showed up.
Carl was in the military, and he was there when we came, I guess. He was living in that old... There was another old cabin. There was old cabins all over because down in the Walters Field there was an old cabin too.
Yeah,
and when they went to clear that, they had Don and Dorothy and I wanted to go down there and dig around. And Carl had me creosote in the logs with gasoline and creosote. And they decided to go down there and look at that cabin and stuff and dig around before they bulldozed it. So they know if I wanted to come along. So I didn't wash off or anything. I just put the lid on the can. It was a really hot day, and I'll tell you, did I get burned from that creosote and that gasoline.
Yeah.
I was so
this was
miserable. But there was an old cabin there, and I think we started fussing around it, and I got so, you know, I was burning so bad they had to take me back to the house. So I never did, we never did dig garbage dump or whatever it was, and they pushed it all in one of those frost boils, and that was the end of it. It was probably they raised hay around on, you know, some of the clearings too, so for the horses in Fairbanks.
Did you know anyone up what's now Asheville Road?
There wasn't anybody up there.
Let's see, down. Well, I guess it wasn't until...
There was an old trail up there, and there'd been a guy that had been gold mining.
Okay, Cora talked about the Penovich mine, and she never said what kind of a mine it was.
And then there was another spot over in Steel Creek there, and there was a big pile of gravel, so Don and I went up there a couple of times and panned gold, and it was good gold. It's on Cora Gamble's place.
Well, that's probably the
creek.
Same place.
David tried to talk her into letting him mine it out. She wouldn't let him. But there's probably lots of gold up there.
Yeah, I get it. Most of these places no one lived on. They just filed on it, and that's all they had to do because of the GIs.
Well, see, what were the names up there?
Foster, Keith Foster, George Fry. You see, his name's on two different ones.
Yeah.
Franklin Butterfield. Now these folks, Blankenship, this was Cora's aunt, she said, that filed there, up above Tilly.
Boy, if it was the lady I'm thinking of, she was a great big woman, and she had these just real hillbilly-ish, and they had some problems with the kids, and finally the police went up there, and there was safes all over in the woods. They'd been carting them up there and blowing them open. That's all I remember about Blankenship.
Bonet, did you know him?
Yeah, that was the Irma I was talking about that was Dorothy's real good friend, Tilly's daughter.
Oh.
Dusty and Irma Bonet. He was military.
Oh, wait a minute.
In Alaska.
Irma was
Tilly's daughter.
Tilly's daughter.
Uh-huh.
Who was Mickey?
That she called herself Mickey.
Oh, okay. So Mickey and Irma are the same person. And how are they involved?
He was in the military here, and that's where Mickey met him, and then they sold that to...
So they married?
Yeah, they married.
Oh, okay.
They had, when they left here, they had three kids.
Oh, okay. Now I had
to decide to move outside.
Mm-hmm.
They live in... near Sacramento.
Okay, now there's one bachelor you got taken care of. Nancy keeps worrying about where these bachelors found women to marry.
Yeah. You know, it's like the young men today say that there's no women around, and I think, well, in those days there had to be a lot more men than women.
Yeah. Well, there's some strange women around is what's the problem. There's women around, but they're strange.
The only way they could stand to be here.
I don't know. Well, some of the boys tell me the description of some of the girls they met up with. Bobby says that, Phil says that's why he is single. But he wasn't any catch himself. So.
Okay.
Berkey's didn't move in till pretty much later. So.
He was a
contractor, plumber, or what was it?
They didn't she move in until the... What did Lee say? Lee first knew.
Yeah.
He was pretty good at whatever he did.
Yeah, apparently. Probably she did.
I think he was a mechanic. I think he was a heavy duty mechanic, I think is what Lee said. Berkey, or Lee bought or filed. Berkey relinquished to him, I guess, what happened.
The only one that I know was a heavy duty mechanic was on out at 19 Mile.
That's beyond the scope of this map quite a bit.
Well, except that he drove the road every day and everybody knew him.
You're not thinking of McGee.
Yes.
McGee?
He was a field man.
Sam McGee?
I mean, maybe that's...
No, there's McGee and there's McKee.
Oh, McKee.
Oh, McKee. That had the big...
He was a mechanic. Yeah. Right, okay, sure. Yep, that was another one.
He didn't work on anything smaller than a grader.
Right.
That's kind of like Al. He doesn't care about working on cars. He liked working on the big
ones.
That's
stuff,
all he could do was the big stuff.
So when you
he worked on the pickups up there.
Oh, Kivlins. I don't think that name is spelled right. Did you know the Kivlins? I just know that our kids went to school with some of them, and that's about all I remember.
The name side rings a bell. Yoders.
Mm-hmm. Farkas, of course, where they were potato farming.
Gruenthal's, I think, ended up on the Yoder's place. The boys were friends with in high school. Gruenthal was their name, Marion. And
geez, I don't even remember that.
He had work. They had been in Iran or Iraq or something. They got out of there when things got kind of hot over there, and then he had a job here for a couple of 3 years they lived.
Well, that must have been a little later on.
Yeah. And the boys go see him every time they go down outside. There was a couple of boys their age, young men. When I went with Jim and Chris on that trip, we went up to see one of them.
Do you know when Maranatha came in here? That's the property that supposedly Funk's.
Yeah, well, that was their homestead.
He had a
farm there, and he was raising cows and milk.
And then they built the house in the.
They just took over their house.
Yeah. But, so they were there in 53.
Yeah.
You see, Funk's don't show up on this map as near as I have found. Here's
they kind of caught it in between where they bought one and sold one and bought the other and then sold.
And then Lee thought their land extended over at least to the creek here.
Uh-huh.
Down there.
In the mid-70s, when they graveled the road out here.
Maybe
they paved it.
Yeah, when they paved it.
Uh-huh.
Do I have it right that they came down and went sort of through over here to the west of Harold's to get the gravel down south?
No, they went right through Ann's property.
Yeah, just right down the hill and around.
And did you just give them right away for a short period of time? Or?
Well, just verbal right away. Then when they got through, they put some gravel in our yard. So.
That row of trees that's across the road went right smack dab in the middle of that.
Down the hill there.
Trees were planted to show that the easement no longer existed.
It was because of the dust.
Yeah, probably.
The road was dusty, and we thought, put some trees there, it'll catch some of the dust.
Well, and
those
and
trees have gotten so big.
Wasn't there an agreement that they would upgrade the township line
Well, they had to.
They
the
had
run
to
on it.
Yeah, they
had to.
But so how did the land, how did the road get from over there, where you gave them an easement to get down to the flats and then get the township? Was township always here and they just didn't go over it?
The line was there.
The hill was too steep for their big trucks to come up. They had big 18-wheeler, big, huge, what do you call those trucks? Big gravel trucks that were,
mm-hmm.
So they had to go the low area. So they plotted that out and went down the hill over there and right around and then just out. You can still see
mm-hmm.
the,
yeah.
It's kind of like where the pipeline
someday
road is.
We should walk that again. I haven't done it. For
or go out at the other end and look back up.
You're wearing good boots.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, once
go
out
to
that gravel pit out there and then you can just look right back
mm-hmm.
up. It's easier to walk it, just looking at it that way.
Yeah, no, I've walked some out.
Well, the kids loved that. They were out there every minute watching
what?
Those big trucks go
big trucks, right.
They used to sit and eat breakfast in the morning and hear these two lights up, way up over our heads, coming up the road here.
From
here. Trying to figure out, what in the sand?
Yeah, those things were like so weird.
And
it was the
5 a.m. and start the motors and have them idling and everything was warmed up. When
that's all the guy had to do is come and jump in.
Right. Ukes, that's what those were.
Yeah,
the,
they were big.
Scrapers.
Then they did the yard, and they did put gravel, you know, on the road, some of it. It wasn't very much. It was pretty
well,
thin.
Well, it wasn't until then that we could really drive the township
uh-huh.
road year-round,
yeah,
was it?
I guess.
After that, we were going through their property and coming out on Everhart's road, only that changed later, because at that time we were coming out on top of the hill where there'd been no cut at all. That hill was a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
36 feet higher.
Yeah. This is previous to 74.
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh, yeah, this was previous to 60. See, they paved the road in 65 or
yeah,
something
like
that.
Yeah.
And that's when all this was.
Has it been that long ago?
Yes,
gosh,
because we have the.
Exactly 40 years.
We have the. Number off the old car that they pulled off when it was so muddy that they were pulling us.
You got an antique,
yeah,
huh?
That's right. Just the bumper, not the car.
When they hauled the stuff up, they dumped it on either side of the cut road, and it stored there for a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, huge, big piles.
Oh,
remember those
yeah,
big, 80, huge piles?
80,000 cubic yards.
And then when they finally built the road, then they were able to go just right there and pick it up and put it on their own.
Oh, geez. Well, is there anyone else we need to ask about?
You know, I'm wondering about, you know, the geology of that hillside when they finally cut it down. How'd those big quartz rocks get in there? Wasn't that something?
You wonder?
Was that glacier pushed up there? Or?
I think they said we never had glaciers in here. It was all
yeah,
windblown.
Yeah, but you don't blow rocks that weigh tons.
I had to reach up and grab some dust to blow on.
I think there must have been some turmoil or else.
Yeah, some other.
There goes the mailman.
Oh, is he up there already?
Yeah.
And is there a dog?
Did he stop
the he's trying to get the dog to come over, and they are a funny pair, I'll tell you. He wants the dog to come over and let him pet her, and she'll take something out of his hand, take a treat out of his hand, but she won't let him touch her.
She's smart, huh?
So, Ann, where do you live now? I don't know that.
Oh, okay, Laura Ann Avenue,
yes.
Which that stupid name. I hate that.
Well, it's a little confusing because of this other Laura down here.
Uh-huh.
But,
that's spelled a little different.
Yes. But, well, to foreigners, though, it's
yeah,
practically the same word.
There's Laura, there's Larissa,
there's
Lisa.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's enough.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah.
So, okay,
just
so.
In
okay.
That Redwood house you see up there. Right the
Redwood house. Okay, and across the street is a grader.
Yeah.
From your house.
Well, it used to be. They moved it over into their yard.
We brought it over and put it in the yard. Because
yeah.
Danny Sword owns that property now.
Danny who?
Danny Sword.
Oh,
Jimmy's old cabin was bought by Danny Sword.
Oh,
and
okay.
George had 14 acres there.
Right.
So that corner there is his. And then the 3 acres down below it on the other side of that road is Sherry and Keith, Chris's sister and husband. They bought that.
What's the last name?
Sherry and Keith.
Well,
is this old age?
What do you think of it? I'd be interested.
Oh, my God.
Well, now, Benny Kissinger is also.
Yeah, and then Kissinger's on up at the top of it. They have a little piece up there. But we still have, like, one little piece in there right up above Corey and Melanie's.
Right.
So there's one little. But it's kind of a frost boil. It's sinking. We're wondering what's going to happen to that, this land changing because of ice melting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't think
it used to be kind of a hole back in there. Now I hope that frost boil doesn't exist over in, you know, it was kind of bad in there before, right along Herning Road there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's still a pile. The gravel is growing in there, and, you know. Have corn. Well, then the road, the land right across the street here is, according to this map, was your land,
mm-hmm.
right here.
Right over to that corner there.
So,
and then there's a strip 10 acres that Keister built. What's his first name?
Jim Keister
bought 10 acres
there.
And so this land that, I mean, the road that is now blocked off by Eberhardt's,
that just went around Beatrice's house is all it ever went. But some people have been kind of finding a way up there with snow machines, and they're hot under the collar about it.
Well, I finally put the fence across there.
But when their kid was little, he could run all over the countryside, and it didn't bother anybody.
Well, the countryside has changed. I don't think that it's just because he is now older. I don't think it's changed any.
Well, they really brag about being rich and owning things and blah, 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 so whatever.
I can understand that they don't need snow machines running through their yard when they've got guests there.
And they do tend to want to take over, because Rick tried to put a fence around this, and they've knocked it down again. And he's been, you know, he talked to the police, and they said, well, do this and this and this, and that'll keep them out, huh?
So
first thing they did, he bought signs, which were kind of expensive, and they stole all the signs.
Yes. You think they would have to do with that?
Oh, no. It's other kids around. We're talking about snow machines. We don't
know. Snow machines, generally. Oh, yeah.
No, but there. Jeremy used to run around all over the place when he had freedom.
Well,
So
but
whatever.
There were quite so many people.
Well, they all over Maddie's field down there, and she says, so what? She said, there's nothing to do about it, so let them play.
Yeah, like the field here at the Beatrice and Harold's.
Well, Al bought a snow machine at the auction a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, now go run around over and Eberhardt's field. Well, he did. The first thing he did, it kind of warmed up, and he went out and he got stuck. Man, they're hard to get out when they get stuck. You know, they kind of sink down below that hard ice shield. He came back and he's all worn out.
It'd be kind of nice if somebody could get stuck over in the field there.
They'd probably call the police and have him arrested.
Yeah, well, I don't think you want to walk across there. I think somebody's been challenged with a firearm of some sort for walking there in front of the house. So I think it's probably just as safe to stay away from it.
That one winter, what was her name? Donna Creer.
Yeah.
You know, we had the cross-country ski trail, and we went all over the place. But I guess that now it's getting more trouble.
Well, more people.
More people.
More people, more dogs. I mean, we used to let our dogs run and never think anything of it, and they'd come home shot occasionally.
I remember the time they used to like to come over in our yard over there, and I had this Tupperware cake dish. Big thing, and I never could get the darn lid to fasten. One day I got mad, and I just sailed the whole thing out there, and they played with it for the rest of the winter. They had a ball. Every day they'd come over, and they'd be down there chasing each other. Pretty soon you'd look, and the plastic would be there, and they'd be gone. They never did destroy it. It was tough as could be.
I remember that our dogs ran a moose through your greenhouse once upon a time.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember that.
I'm glad. The other day I was writing up about
bait my chickens. Remember they ate some chickens?
Oh, I'm not surprised. I have done new analysis since then. They got some of ours.
That's more fun to chase chickens.
Oh,
they fly up so nice.
Yeah. Make such a big racket.
Yeah.
It was Nathan was looking after some chickens. I guess it was chickens of yours or Dorothy's or both. I don't remember. When you all were gone someplace on a vacation.
Yeah.
And one of them just dropped dead right in front of
me. Oh!
The poor kid was scared. He didn't know what he'd done, you know.
Oh, what'd you do to those chickens?
Oh, gosh.
But you couldn't have, if you had many chickens, you couldn't have eaten all those eggs. I mean, you know.
Well, they were babies just raised for meat.
Okay, yeah, so you know, it's just
Eleanor Rydell, which was up
Rifle Road.
Yeah, Rifle Road. When she first moved out there, she had a dog, and we had a dog, and Carl and I went. We were raising chickens for Dr. Hagelin, wanted fresh chickens, so we got like 150. And we came home from fishing one Sunday, and there was about 35 chickens left. They had both got in there, and there was chickens all over the yard.
Yeah.
They'd had a ball. So that was the end of that.
Experience. We were outside. Al and I were outside. The kids were looking after the place, and Tom called out there. You tell the rest of the story.
I was trying to figure out why would they be calling us in Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
And so when I got on the phone, I said, well, how many did they kill?
Right.
And they're absolute silence. The other one, poor old Tom, trying to figure out.
How'd you know?
How did he know?
I'm going to have to use your restroom.
Oh, you know where it is? Right straight through the hall there, and after you all.
I called Al, and you said he could come for lunch. So.
Yes, good. Well, on his time. Will he be coming pretty quick?
I think I told him I'd give him a call.
We might as well, I think, roll this up and get the table set.
Do you want to turn this off?
Why don't you turn it off for now, and then we can turn.
There were reindeer in there.
Where the root cellar was?
Well, no, there was a big clearing that filled.
Oh, clearing.
Yeah, over here.
Yeah. Oh. In connection with that restaurant.
Well, it was out there
on
Tim Osprey's Road, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. But where they, did they have the bar?
The Bullseye?
The Bullseye. Yeah, I don't know whether they had a bar. I think maybe they sold.
I found out there was, they cleared a field back there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, then like several years later, I found out there was blueberries. So I spent about 10 years picking that hillside of blueberries.
So there's still blueberries out
there? Well, I don't know. Now it's all grown up to brush, but they had some corrals and stuff back in there, but it's all.
Yeah, I think that was in connection with what became the Bullseye. I don't remember if that was the first name.
Yeah, they sold.
What kind of zoo was it going to be?
Wild animals. I don't remember what all they had, though. Maybe Beatrice would remember.
All I remember is they tried to get moose to come in. They put out things to attract moose, and I don't know whether there was ever anything more than that.
They planted a bunch of cabbage down there in back of the bar.
Right. Yeah.
You could sit out on the deck on the bar and watch the cow moose down there with her calf eating cabbage.
And this was a lure to bring in the moose for the tourists.
But this was probably when they cleared that stuff. It was way back in the 50s sometime where they when they got that place. Let me think. I don't remember having any kids when I first met Velma, but maybe it was later. Yeah, it probably was in the 60s.
You know the house that's right... it's to the west of the Bullseye, so you come up over the hill, and now there's that fellow who has the horses.
Yes,
and there's
Andy.
The burnt out cabin there.
That was
Who's
the
land? That was the Aikens' house.
That
hillside
was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold it to
And then Sal had it, and then there's some people, there's a lady in there now, Sandy, and she's the one that has the horses, but she said Sal's won so much for that piece with the burned out house that they just didn't want it. So. That she wasn't going to pay that much for it, so they bought the, you know,
that
down
the house has got kind of a curse on it because they found that girl's body and buried in the basement.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah. And then it burned. I guess the guy burned it that was trying to hide her.
Right.
Probably. Hmm. I wonder who did that. They just got that guy recently that yesterday's paper that did a lot of sexual attacks and stuff. And I wondered if that. You know, he had some long history of maybe even murdered a couple. We're always missing people.
Well,
there was a little native girl at the university, somebody killed
mm-hmm.
him.
There were some real rough people that lived just north of the Igloos.
Oh, yeah. Those drug
which
drugies.
Is only a couple of hundred feet over to that basement.
Yeah.
And I've always maintained that whoever lived in those houses knew more than anything else about that.
But I was thinking at the time they found that girl, those guys were gone, but maybe not.
You know,
maybe that's about when they took off. Uh-huh. There was one guy that, what did they call him? Little something. It was about the time that Herring, remember that Herring that had the little cabin up on the hill there?
Greg Herring?
Oh, Greg Herring, yeah. He ran around with them. This one guy, he was along the road one day, and he was hitchhiking, so I picked him up and gave him a ride. My kids are, don't you ever do that again.
I think one time Harold told me that he had given land to those people who are in the igloos. Do you know anything about
that?
Well,
he had a piece of land there, and then when they did the pipeline, they just cut it right in half. So I don't know whether he had it on both sides of the road or what.
Like Steel Creek?
It's right around the pipeline there. You know,
uh-huh.
The pipeline crosses the road.
And
so I don't think anybody would do anything with it, you know, so.
Uh-huh. So is that then that Harold did give the people in the igloos the land?
Yeah, probably was. Probably
they were a church group or something?
Yeah, it probably was that. Do you remember when they built up there? Nancy says it was there when she came in 80. Yeah, it was before that because
must have been. I just don't remember.
Because that's where Christina was supposed to have gotten abused, was the baby being babysit at that place.
Oh, no.
And that was way back in the, wasn't that? How
Christina, David
Hart?
Yeah. Because they were being lived in when we came. Those were actually being lived in. They weren't just blue tarped. And then
I wondered. Way back, probably in the 70s, I imagine they've been there.
Yeah.
Well, as I worked at the hospital with a girl from Arizona that was Apache Indian, and they were babysitting the, because they had kind of a child care thing before John and Kim started there. They had.
Yeah, I have no idea about anything.
Oh, well, I just took that away from
me. I did too.
See, it kind of ended when they.
See, this is your cup, Anne. Now you say you aren't staying for lunch?
Well, check it later.
Yeah, I guess we can take one of these off. Huh? You're running off. Oh, she's going to take something with her. All right. Don't look.
I thought I left those things so you had to have a real long arm deal.
I want you to know that I'm going to cook a wiener at the Wiener Festival.
Oh.
You're going to
what?
I'm going to go get, it's called the Wiener Carnival.
Uh-huh.
One of the car people in town is giving away free wieners and hot apple pies, probably from McDonald's.
Oh.
And I'm giving up Al George's food to go have
today. Oh, wiener. Oh.
Now, I don't eat wieners.
Nothing else.
And Annie is quit talking.
Oh, I don't know. She's talking to Nancy.
Well, did you learn anything?
Sure. We learned a lot.
Al?
Come on.
How you doing?
Very good.
Great. Glad to hear that.
Hey, Al, I want one of those.
I don't know. I look at those things and all I can think of is just the 16-inch lengths. Just make a nice firewood.
Work.
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 No, the snow, you hardly ever see snow. That's pretty. Well, you can have her paint a moose down there back there.
I figured that is there. I don't know where you put it.
Well, that's the problem. Well, we're running out of space anyway. We bought a couple new pictures the other day and had to rearrange.
Well, you and I should do like Gene and Don do. They take some down, put some up, take some down.
Well, where do they put the ones they take
down? Well, they've got the upstairs there, I guess.
Well, I guess
they're
upstairs.
Not using and just pile them up there.
Well, if you're going to store them, take them down and store them. Why are you going to have them?
No, well, and you decide you want to see them again.
Oh, change the motif about 6 months down.
It's just
daffodils.
Aren't those nice, Katie? Aren't those at Safeway?
Oh, my.
And they are so bright. They just glow.
Mason is real excited about spring coming.
When there's real dirt?
Well, they were out playing yesterday, and Al went finally out and told them they had to come in. And
they didn't want to come in. They were right off the middle of the little sand pile with all the snow and everything.
Right. He's getting to be such a big boy.
13 here, so
it's
not up there. 13
outside?
Yeah. In the shade?
Yeah, it's in the shade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in the sun it would be.
Well, you want to go in the sun because the sun will show you. Well,
yeah.
A lot of heat in that sun, even though.
Right. Sure made your glasses black.
Well, somebody's
about
walking in the road over
oh,
there.
Oh, well, that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, she's talking about somebody's over there on the road.
Why don't you do this with the deck? Take that deck up.